Welcome, everyone, to the Talk Cock Podcast.
We ought to name ourselves Clickbait Podcast.
I mean, do they work, though? That's the thing. Can we retain the viewers?
I mean, we get clicks. apparently, like, there on our last episode, some guy commented under the video, good clickbait. Someone actually commented, like, good clickbait. apparently that episode clickbaited a good amount of people because we got a lot more views than we usually do. And I was like, thanks, I guess. Like, I don't know what the clickbait specifically was about the last episode.
Wasn't it, like, Will Smith?
Yeah, it was.
That's all you got to
We're back again on today's episode of the podcast, and we're here again, and we have our third host together back with us, again. Who should have been here last week as well, but apparently, I couldn't make it because of some medical issue, boo-hoo.
He had diarrhea. He was taking shit in a bathroom. To the extent that he fell asleep while he was on his throne.
It was kind of serious, okay? I had a panic attack, and then I couldn't breathe, so I took some medicines. And then the next thing I knew that I passed out. I don't know. It happens.
You need CPR, baby boy.
Only from you.
Mm-hmm. Sit up.
Alright. Anyway, we need a good clickbait. We need a good clickbait for this week's episode as well, so we can get as many views as last week.
I have a critique, though. I was listening to the podcast that you guys showed last week, right? I have some critiques. We are not energetic enough. We have that vibe that it's like, you know. It's okay, it's there, but our conversations are like meh. Even though we're talking about a good topic, let's say, but we don't bring the energy, you know? It's not that Logan Paul shit like, what's up, guys? And all bro, that. Bro. It's all it's so mellow.
I am an uncle now, okay? What kind of fuck energy are you expecting out of me?
I don't know, it just...
Yeah, no, only energy that I'm physically capable of emitting now is sexual energy. And that is like 1%. And I have nothing else in my life now. And that's the only 1% of energy that I'm physically capable of emitting out to people like you, baby boy.
Okay, Donkey, do you think your sexual performance fell after your 20s now that you're in your 30s?
No, it died. It didn't fall. It died.
So what do you do now? You just lie there like, oh, do it not to me, baby girl. I don't know what to do anymore.
Every day I just tell myself that, wait, why am I doing the accent? Every day. So I just
sexual accent. That's how you flirt. You see a new girl. You see a hot girl, you try to flirt her. Hello now, baby girl.
Hello, baby. That's all I say. Like, are you lost, baby girl? Are you lost, baby girl? Are you lost? So I just lay here telling myself that everything will be fine. One day the flag will raise again.
What flag?
It's called an erectionary.
Why did you say flag?
A flagpole. So a flag.
Okay.
It's an innuendo.
So can you do two rounds or three rounds? Or like it's one round?
He can't do any rounds. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, but I mean, realistic.
No, Larry. And I don't know, Larry. I've not fucked for years.
For years? I can relate.
You para punde, you fight you. You You tell me 20 days and then you are okay, I can relate that. Fuck you, understand? You are not near 40 now.
I was practicing celibacy. Isn't that what it's called? I don't know. Isn't the right term?
Celibacy from your hand?
Well,
you're trying to keep your nasty hands away from your own self.
Yeah,
you gotta treat clean hands.
And in the back of my head, can't keep my hands to myself. That's Selena Gomez song. You don't know that? You're the one who made me listen to that song.
Who?
What?
TK. Oh. Like what all song? all my pop culture knowledge came from him. So that's why it's so shit.
Oh. Are you?
What are you saying? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that song from Selena Gomez. Can't keep my hands to myself. I think it's a song from her. I'm pretty sure.
I have no idea. Like, you're talking about ages ago. Okay, I don't know. Whenever you bring something up, it's like you're like forcing me to go down and check my diary, if I had a diary, and like go like check the calendars, 5 years back, 10 years back.
Why is your brain so shitty? Why can't you remember things?
I don't live in the past, bruh. Okay, I live in the now. And also because I may have early onset Alzheimer's pretty soon. So I don't remember all that much, okay? That's what I'm saying. So just I live in the now and the tomorrow. That's as far as I can go. You hear?
Was that a West accent? Were you trying to do?
What are you talking about? That's just me.
Alright, sure. This is what I'm talking about. We don't bring any energy and a lot of awkwardness.
That's the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is not everybody likes high energy. Sometimes people just like to listen. You know, we are the kind to talk to put people to sleep. Like, hello, baby girl. You don't worry. You are in safe place now. And Larry will touch your head to sleep, baby girl.
Yeah. Okay, if you want so much high energy, why don't you show us? Okay, why don't you put out the energy? Let's see how it's done. Where's the energy, Larry?
I didn't think it through.
Where is it?
You would put me on the spot. I take it back. It wasn't a criticism. Imagine actually falling asleep and waking up to donkeys this sound.
Oh my god. That's how Donkey flirts. He just sends one of the podcast episodes and he's like, you like it, baby girl.
That's how bad things have gone since my 20s. Yep. Does that answer you, Larry?
Okay, Larry, there's no takesy backsies, okay? Once you take it in the face. Once you take it in your mouth, you gotta swallow. There's no spitting on this podcast. We don't allow that kind of behavior. But having said that, it's time for you to bring up a topic, okay? Last week, I had so many topics. If only I didn't pass out.
Oh my god, Donkey, I have to tell you this. So for some reason,
I need the energy. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. For some reason, last week I was actually prepared for the first time for our podcast. I was prepared to bring up some good topics to talk about controversies, and I wanted to know your guys' opinion. And I always wanted pushed TK to do that to do a bit of research of topics that we talk about. And my guy was like, no, we don't do that here. So I never did. But last week, for some reason, I just stumbled upon some stuff that I was really interested in. And that's the week I couldn't join. So then this week, I'm like, F it. It's not going to worth it. The more I'll prepare, the more it won't happen. So I'll just keep it casual again. And now those topics are not as relevant. Maybe.
And the point is?
The point is, I don't have a topic.
But I'm there! What? You went one whole round to say, I don't have a topic. And who's the wizard? Oh, we don't have the energy. Oh, everything just
Just stop it. I made a mistake.
let's choose an example. I went to Timbuktu and take a pot of gold and cooked this rice, and I went to Mongolia to meet Genghis Khan and came back to here and to realize that I left my pot in Australia.
Okay, yeah. You've proven yourself to be the clown that we know you are, Larry. So it's time for you to... It doesn't matter what you think, okay? Just bring up the topics that you had prepared last week, okay? Just bring them up.
Yes, baby boy.
Let me go and check on my notes if I have the notes yet. Or I flush them out of the toilet.
The fuck? How do you flush them off the toilet?
Like, if I deleted them or not. I don't remember. What? If I still have it.
I don't delete anything. Like, what the fuck?
Okay. So the first topic I wanted to talk about was AI-generated anime. So there's this one... Yeah, so there's this one anime called Viper... Hold on. So Vampire Hunter D. So there's this one group who took live footage of normal people and then fed AI a lot of art style of that anime and then made an entire anime through AI with that art style. And the entire manga community or the art community is very pissed is because what there is no appreciation for those works anymore if AI can do it. Like, you just take a style or you take, like, two or three similar style and you put it in a system and that generates you the anime, then what happens to all the creators? They already don't get it much money. They have shitty work culture. They get overworked all the time. Don't get paid much, and now on top of that, if AI comes in, it's like an entire industry just mushed to death because you always wanna, you know, bring on new animes. So, is it something that you guys would support because that means, you know, faster animes or more animes every season, but then the mangakas are not getting fair treated because it's AI generated?
I think Donkey might have a lot to say about this because he is an artist himself. So it's not, I think the topic is not just about the anime, the AI generated anime thing that's going on around YouTube, but like it's about AI, AI art itself. Like,
yeah.
And it's been happening for a while. And more and more things are getting AI'd right now. Music, art. We all know about ChatGPT. So education as well. And everything is getting AI'd. And let's hear it from Donkey first. As an artist, Donkey, like, what do you think about AI art?
It's very gray because okay, if you talk about anime AI anime releases, let me ask you something, a layman question, which is do you enjoy current movies that are filled with CGI? You know, it's so fake and everything, and there's not much effort in actors acting. So there's really not much substance to the movies nowadays. Like, horror movies are not reliant on how well an actor can portray, but it's more reliant on the jump scares that the CGI can produce. So that is going to be the future of the animes that are produced by AI, because there's no human touch to it. Everything is stamped out from a fixed template or a system. So there's not much creativity going on around it. It's all system-based, and it's all repetitive. And it's, to be honest, all this AI stuff, right, it helps with society. But the thing is, humans are so lazy. It's de-evolutionizing ourselves. Like, instead of moving forward of it, we are relying on AI to the extent that, I mean, the main group of people, the consumers, are so reliant on it that they don't bother to think for themselves anymore. Like, example, all the Marvel movies. It's put out so much that people are so used to it, they adapt to it, rather than, you know, to say that, oh, this is not good, I prefer the old movies, like when Hulk was really acting and all. So they adapt to it because it's there, it's convenient. So this makes people dumber, because, you know, this is what society is asking for: convenience, to provide laziness for people. And it's not really enhancing the quality of life and everything. So I don't really understand why people want that, because except for pure laziness. Yeah, so yeah, no doubt that it'll put a lot of manga artists and artists in general out of job. But ultimately, like, a lot of artists such as myself, like, we don't support like all this AI art. But, you know, if it's used properly, if it's not stolen artworks, stolen references from people and everything, and it's purely conjured from something, like, let's say, like, purely conjured up from this AI system and not stolen references, I guess it'll be fine, it'll be more accepted. But right now, why everyone is against it, because it's all stolen properties. So let's say, like, people, like, artists like the Mona Lisa, Michelangelo, was it? Or Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah. So imagine, like, the Mona Lisa, he took so long to paint that, and so much value in it, so much sentiments in it and everything. And the AI can just remove that, all that hard work, to produce something similar in like 5 minutes. And that doesn't make sense at all. It devalues the whole term of art. The whole purpose of art is the whole concept, the whole ideology behind it, the whole process with it, that is embodied within someone that we can't see inside, like your head. So that removes the whole purpose of art itself, if you talk about being automated like a factory. And yeah, it's in ours, like I said, it's de-evolutionizing. What's that word? I don't know the word. De-evolutionizing people. Yeah. So instead of becoming better, like with space car and everything, we're just becoming dumber and dumber, because, you know, eventually we'll let robots and machines take over everything without, you know, remembering that we are supposed to be in control of all these machines. It's supposed to aid us, not us being reliant on it. Yeah.
Yeah, but would you rather read encyclopedia and learn, or would you rather have a smartphone that you can search on Google and find the answer right away? Because you would end up learning so much useless things, or you'll learn useful things but you'll forget because you would not practice them every day. But then if you have Google at your hand, you just can Google it and get whatever information you needed, like general knowledge, let's say. Or if you need a thesis or something, or a paper or article, it's there. You don't need to memorize it. So having it for convenience is good. And even if they pay the artist, let's say the AI will take, let's say, 5,000 designs of probably, you know, a lot of artists. And then it will create an art which might be worth in millions. But because it has taken from a big sample of pool, every artist will get negligible amount of the actual art, but somebody who created the AI will get the most of it. So even if you'll get like pennies to a dollar. It it wouldn't matter. It would be so little. Even, and they will be like, yeah, we are paying the artist. So they will be in a legal way good that, yeah, we are paying, but it's not good enough for those artists to continue. That's what I think.
Okay, so...
they don't get any money, though.
Yeah, we don't get any money.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to legalize all this shit because it's all debatable. Okay, it's very simple. Like, whatever you're doing now, you're studying, right? And then whatever you're studying, let's say, like, you were to take a master's degree after this and everything. And through your research, you came up with your very own thesis on certain things and certain formulas based on this. And everything came from you, your own research. And TK just comes over, rip it off from you, all the years from you, and publish it as his own. How would you feel?
Yeah, but TK is...
You don't get a single cent or recognition at all.
Yeah, but TK is not doing that. Okay, TK would do the exact thing that Mark Zuckerberg did.
No, like, but the thing
he stole the idea of Facebook from two other dudes. And yeah, they got some money back after a lawsuit, but Mark Zuckerberg is the billionaire, while those guys didn't got that much. So
yeah, but even the thing if is,
he feels it, it's not something I can't do. I can do, right?
No, like, but the thing is, the thing is, it's not about that. The thing is, the main question is, how would you feel?
Shit, feel like myself, right?
Exactly.
Like,
so this is the point. It's not fair. And it doesn't make sense. It makes a lot of students around the world studying all this shit. It renders them useless. All the millions and thousands of dollars that people pay for their kids to go to school, like below average families, like single mom, single dads, they're paying so hard for this kid to go out to school. So for what? Is to get like a proper stand in society, to earn like a certain fair share of amount, you know, a better life for themselves. But all this AI thing from all these people are rendering all these efforts useless because there's no space for humans to work in anymore in the future. Yeah, so, like, do you honestly think that there is another Titan company that can match up with Facebook? No, because Facebook has been there for far too long and he has branched out so much for anyone to be able to take it down easily just like that. So that is the point. You know, whatever is there is already there now. And if you're asking me about the encyclopedia thing, to be honest, I was raised in an environment, the era of not having convenience. And I didn't pick up drawing based off fucking internet. I picked up drawing because I picked up a pencil. It's the same logic. So if you have interest in something, you will find it out. You will put in the effort to go and find out how it works. It doesn't matter how inconvenient it is because you have the passion for it. And that is actually better because you're more focused into your goals. Now, you are very focused and there's always a market for you for that. No, because it's not so convenient. There's supply, there's demand, and it's a good balance. But now, because everything is so convenient, it's good in a way. But it's rendering a lot of people's purposes in life useless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Elon Musk said, I think on a Joe Rogan podcast, that there will come a day that the government will have to pay people to live because there wouldn't be any more job.
Yep.
Like, that's what his prediction was of the future. Sorry, TK, I think you were saying something.
Yeah, I mean, jobs are gonna get less and less because, like, we need less people to, like, with more technology, you know, like, we're getting robots now to replace the manual labor jobs. We're getting self-driving cars to replace the delivery man jobs. And now we're getting AI to even replace those creative jobs that people thought can never be replaced, right? Even art or writing and all these creative stuff that people thought, oh, you can never, like, or the robot could never replace that job. But now they are doing that. And yeah, eventually, like, if we don't figure out a system to, like, balance this, because companies, okay, companies are capitalistic and they're always try to make the best out of this situation. They're always try to maximize their profit. So they'll think that instead of hiring 10 guys for this, we can just hire one guy and make him use this AI technology to, like, do the same job as 10 other guys, okay? Make him overwork and pay him just a bit more. And we're saving a lot of money here, okay? That's what companies are going to think. So governments really have to take this shit seriously and, like, put rules and regulations in place early so this doesn't happen, you know? But, you know, it's already happening, and a lot of people are out of jobs and losing a lot of jobs now.
It's the thing is, that is where the trap is. By doing that, you're limiting the next step of from there will be restricting people's thoughts from after this. It'll be the next step.
They control our thoughts, basically, like with social media or with everything we see. They have, like,
hasn't like a legit, you know, like psychopaths. Yeah. It's there will be a system to control your thoughts. Like, you can't have, like, fucked up thoughts or anything. So that would be the next step, because if the government can put a law on creativity, which means it's invasion of your thoughts. And yeah, so that would be the next step. They will realize that, oh, this is something that we can use to capitalize and, you know, for us to regain the control of things even further. Oh.
I'm not talking about putting laws on creativity. I'm talking about, like, putting laws and guidelines for companies in place so they can't just fire people and use the, you know, technology and robots to replace them. You know, I'm saying that government should put rules and laws in place to protect people's and employees, you know, so they don't, you know, their jobs don't get fucked out of nowhere. And they don't get replaced overnight by robots. Because the technology is something you can't really, like, you can't restrict. Like, it's going to keep advancing. You can't stop the advancement of technology and AI. And it's already this good now. Like, AI is so fucking good already. Like, ChatGPT and a lot of AI is getting really fucking good already. Imagine how good it's going to get in 10 years' time. It's probably going to be indistinguishable from, like, an actual person, you know? Like, you wouldn't even be able to tell if it's an actual original thing written or created by a person or by AI. And AI, the way AI works is, like, it feeds on everything, all the materials that are available on the internet. So for AI art, for example, it will take and feed on every single art, every single artistic thing or art piece that's available on the internet, every single art style, comic, painting, whatever you have, everything that's available on the internet. And then it mashes it all up and uses all those as references to create new things. Or you can even tell an AI to, like, create something in a specific style. Like, make a portrait of me in the art style of Leonardo da Vinci, let's say. Okay? And it will do that. So the thing is, like, and AI is doing all this, and that's why AI art is kind of, it's not fair using that, because the artists that it's referencing and using, they're not getting paid or recognized at all. So that's, yeah, I can see that as an artist's point of view, that's pretty bad. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't think you can stop this, like, and people will keep on doing this because it's just so convenient. Like, as you said, Donkey, convenience shouldn't be an excuse to like learn something yourself. But I think in this day and age, convenience is everything. Like if something isn't convenient to someone, they probably won't do it. Like if someone can't find something, they can't go on their phone and look it up on the internet or find something immediately. 99% of people are just gonna give up. Like they're like, oh, I couldn't find it in the first Google search I did, so fuck it, I guess. Like that's how fucking lazy people are now, and that's how like, what's that word?
That's how it works.
I forgot that specific word, but that's how. Oh, entitled. Yeah, that's how entitled people are. Okay. If they don't get what they want right there in the most convenient way, they're just going to fuck off and not going to do anything. So AI just makes everything more convenient. So people, that's like their convenient thing to go to when they want some random art for something, or they want some, you know, ChatGPT, they boot it up. They don't even bother Google searching and going to Wikipedia, researching all that stuff and writing themselves. They just go to ChatGPT and ask it to write something for them. Okay. And I don't know how you can stop that. One way I can see how artists can be reimbursed for their art being used is something similar to Spotify. So you know how Spotify has music from almost every artist in the world, and they have music from everyone in the world, and they actually pay every artist for every stream, like not for every stream, but let's say Radiohead, okay, gets one of their songs played 100 times, they will get paid $1 or like $10 for 100 streams of that song, I think. So in a similar way, maybe these AI art programs, they can try to figure out a way to reimburse artists that every time their art is used for something on their app, these artists can get paid a portion of their money. And the way they make up this money is like, just like Spotify, they can charge people like a fee, like a subscription fee, like once a month or something. And that way, it's kind of like the artists get paid for what their art being used, and the app can make money as well. I think that is one way that can be done.
Yeah, I think they are already trying to figure out a way to, you know, like do a premium version of it, so that they can actually make money off. I heard, or I have seen a TikTok probably, that ChatGPT is now losing money for every day that it's online, because they are not advertised, or they're not getting money because they don't have any paid content on their website right now. But they are still using the data of whatever we as users ask as data and helping the AI to be better. But in some time, they will do it.
Oh, yeah, very soon. Probably by next year, it won't be free anymore.
Yeah, probably. You know, I learned another interesting thing. So there's this company called Zipline, and they have sort of mastered a way to do deliveries for emergency stuffs. So what they do is they would, for like 25 kilometers or for 30 kilometers, they would send a drone which will go to the designated place, whichever designated place like the order comes from, and they will shoot the product, and it will have a parachute and it will land safely on the ground. So what they usually do is they send bloods or medicines or whatever things that hospitals might need for emergency. And throughout a vast area, they just send it right away. So yeah, using drones. However, however the traffic is or whatnot, it will bypass all that because it's going through the air, and it's pretty like apparently 50 or 70 kilometers per hour speed. So pretty decent speed if the hospital is in a, you know, crowded place in a city or I don't know. So it's actually better to send these drones because within 15 minutes, you get whatever blood type you needed or whatever medicines you needed. So this company has been doing this for like 2-3 years now, but now they have developed another way to actually deliver normal stuff. So let's say I think Amazon would start doing this probably first, and then maybe Uber will follow. But so what they started is like they're trying to get into the food business. So what they will do is for every food delivery, they will send two drones. One drone will stay like probably 200, 300 meter above your home. And from that, within that drone, another drone will just drop down with the food or with whatever you ordered. It has to be like less than a kilogram. And it will just drop right at your doorstep. It will go up. It won't make any noise, less than a car does. And once it reaches to that station, and it will go straight back. And not only like medical emergencies can be solved like this, like sending blood or whatever from one hospital to another, but also food deliveries and, you know, other stuff. So this will basically kill a lot of jobs, like all the delivery drivers of Amazon or Post or whatnot. They will all kill those, but they're motto is, oh, we are saving the earth because there will be less car on the road. But what about the entire industry of people who make a living out of it? And it will probably happen within 2-3 years. Like they'll probably experiment it in some first world country first and see how it goes. But eventually, in probably 5-6 years, it will be a common thing.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, all the Amazon drivers or truck drivers who make a living, like UPS drivers, FedEx drivers, make a living just going door to door and delivering, that's gone. All the Uber Eats drivers, like me, or food delivery drivers, that's gone. There's already self-driving cars. It's just time before the Uber or Lyft thing is gone, too. So, like, sure, it's helping the world, but also people are going to be unemployed. Like the factory thing, like a lot of people loses their job from factories because they get replaced by robots.
Well, so, yeah, and you can't really stop that because it's been happening for years now, and it's going to keep happening. Like Amazon already have been like... experimenting with like self-driving cars for years now, I think, to like automate their whole delivery service. You know, their Amazon delivery vans, where they drive those and deliver packages everywhere. So they have been experimenting with like self-driving cars to like automate that whole process. And drones, yeah, I've heard of that as well. Like, using drones to deliver food and deliver packages and all that shit to automate all that. So it's just like whatever excuse they give, like it's to save the world or say, you know, get less cars on the road. It's all like bullshit because companies like really want to do this just to maximize their profits, you know, just to make even more money. The less power. What?
They'll cut the labor cost and they will put an upfront that, yeah, we're saving the earth from emission. Right.
Yeah. All they want to do is like cut down on the manual labor and manpower so they don't have to keep paying those pesky employees. They don't have to deal with all those labor unions and shit. They can just fucking invest one time in technology And even though at first it'll be more costly than hiring actual labor, but eventually over time, it will be a lot more profitable and pay itself off like 100 times, you know, because you won't ever have to pay these robots or these, you know, self-driving cars or drones.
And the thing is, people will be excited for it. Like, the people who are affected by it would be the only people who would hate it. Just like the artist with the AI industry. It would be the same for these delivery persons as well. Like, they would be the only one who would hate this. Whereas everybody would think, oh, it's so cool, my car doesn't have a driver. Or, oh, it's so cool, I'm getting food from a drone. Like, we are living in the future. But the people who were working in these would be the only one hating it, or, you know, would be like, what's happening with that?
Well, I think we're past that point now. Where at this point, like, everyone should be getting scared and should be like getting mad, because it's not just the delivery services and it's not just the artists. Like, every job you can imagine is now being replaced, or soon can be replaced by fucking technology or AI, you know? Like, fucking ChatGPT can write code. It can write its own code and shit.
Yeah, it can make you as well, or a game, maybe, I think.
Yeah, so even, like, coders and engineers aren't safe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, every single thing can be replaced, and we are learning that. And yeah, it is true. Like, it's soon enough, if we don't come up with a system to, like, pay people, or like pay people for a living, or like create a system where people can earn a living even without having to do these jobs. You know, because most people, okay, a lot of people won't have jobs in the future because of all this. So how are they, you know, how are they going to be living? Are they going to earn a living if they don't have a job? You know, what are they going to do? They're going to have to find out a system somehow.
Yeah. You know, like, getting back to the artist topic, like, what are your thoughts? Like, would you rather have a factory-made but perfect thing, or a handmade thing, but it can or can be imperfect? Like, which one do you prefer? Like, a DIY thing, or a handmade thing, or a personal made thing? Or would you rather have a factory made, which is, you know, has went through a process or stuff?
I don't know. It depends on the thing, I guess. Depends on the product.
Yeah, like,
if it's... Yeah,
because I was thinking, like, I would probably be okay with the factory thing, because I would think that it's been monitored and it's perfect. But, you know, I can, let's say, get an electronic fan from a dude who made it, and it could be perfect. But I would have that suspicion that maybe he made it with a cheaper thing, or I don't know, maybe it's not good, or maybe it won't last that long. And also, what about those things?
Who makes an electronic fan?
That's an example, bro. I'm not saying that somebody made it.
Okay, most things are factory made, okay? There are very little things you can get handmade. Like, even the action figure Donkey Bot is probably factory made, right? It's not even handmade. So, like, most things, most foods, anything you buy at the store, it's all factory made. There's very little things you can get, like, handmade. Maybe a custom drawing, okay, a custom piece of painting or something. Or, you know, in Japan, where they have, like, these, they make these clay pots from hand, and they have these different art, they have these different, like, artistic things, products they make, like handmade sculptures, or like little trees, like miniature trees They look like big trees, but they're really small. They take a lot of years to make and prepare. And they also have clay pots and weird glasses and products and dolls and things they make out of hand. And they are very expensive and very highly regarded because it's handmade. And you can see, like, it's custom and it's personality. You can see some kind of personality in that. So I think if it's a product like that, definitely I can see the value of a handmade product like that, because it has, there's a story behind it, and it has a unique personality, and it's unique. You know, it's different from anything factory made. Because if something is factory made, there's a thousand more of the exact same thing out there. But when it's handmade, it's like every handmade product is just a bit different, you know? No matter how much, you know, when a person makes it, it's always a bit different. And I get the prestige, you know, with those things and the amount and the expense, you know, how much it's worth. I think it's worth it. So those things I would definitely want handmade products from those. But, you know, on a large day-to-day basis, everything we use, everything we eat is all factory-made.
You know, like, something I was thinking of, like, about dresses, right? So, when I was young, like, for any brand, it felt like some sort of, like, it's so cool to, in some degrees, like, for a lot of people, me, when I was growing up with my school friends, all of my school friends would think that iPhone is the coolest shit ever. Or having a car is very cool, or even having a bike is very cool, or even clothing. If you buy clothing from Gucci or from, I don't know, like big brands, or have a Louis Vuitton bag, you are very cool. But now I feel like, would I rather have a factory made Gucci T-shirt, or would I rather have a, let's say, a traditional cloth from Bangladesh, but from a tailor-made, or even a suit tailor-made. But a tailor-made suit with the best cloth would be so much cheaper and better in quality, and it would be stitched, custom-made for my body style. It wouldn't just be cheap, but it would be good or better. But then, if I wear that and you wear a Gucci suit, you would get more recognition, or people would be, or you would feel more confident in that. Why is that? Why that?
Because you're wearing a brand. You're not wearing a clothing. You're wearing brand.
Yeah, but that custom-made thing is far better. It has a better story. Maybe the tailor has a better story, right?
You just answered your own question, because one is a brand. It's being marketed out as good, and that's what people are wearing it for. Recognition. But if you prefer the tailor one because you like the story, then that's for yourself. It's two different things. Because if you're wearing whatever the factory made, based on what you just said, is for other people to admire you. But for the tailor-made guy, it's for yourself, because you feel good. So it's two different things. It really depends on what kind of it's a status quo thing.
Yeah, you even will get probably more respect for wearing that, or, you know, people will think you're rich or something. But is that worth?
Because it's expensive.
Yeah, but expensive is for the marketing. It's not for the quality. And people think if it's a $500 thing, the material is actually $500 worth it. But it's not.
No.
Like these glasses, they sell for $200, but they probably made it for $15.
Yeah, but you haven't included the man hours.
Yeah, the all of that. No, that's how cheap they are. But because they're monopolized by one company, they can set the prices to however much they feel like it. And we have to be okay with it.
Yeah, because it's all supply and demand.
Yeah, they control.
Oh, are you talking about the glasses?
No, I'm talking about, like, every brand thing, right?
Well, for brands, I don't think, like, okay, Gucci is different. Like, clothing brands is different. there's many clothing brands. They're not monopolized by a single company, but yeah, there's, but like
glasses are.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, are you talking about the glasses or the fucking clothes?
Yeah, I'm talking about it. Like every consumer thing. Like everything we consume.
Yeah, glasses are different. Glasses are a monopoly. It's like owned by one company or something. So yeah, they can charge whatever they fucking want for your glasses. But for clothes, it's different. You have the cheaper brands. Like, there are brands known as cheap and there are brands known as expensive, okay? Like H&M or whatever, like, those are known as cheap brands.
Walmart,
yeah, Target, those clothes. Those are your average, everyday, you know, daily use clothes or, you know, average clothes. And then there are clothes that come with a prestige because of the brand. Like Gucci or Louis Vuitton and the what other you have? Dolce and Gabbana and stuff like that, all those. Because they have carved out a brand for themselves, okay, for years and years. So they are associated, those brands are associated with something expensive, with something classy, with the good, prestigious material and stuff. And it's true that those products are genuinely good and they will have very good material as well, even if they are factory made, okay? Because they still have unique designs, and like the brands make sure they have unique designs because they burn the fucking they burn their whole collection, you know, if it's not sold off. They like literally destroy the collection or something at the end of the season, you know, whatever is left of it. So it can't get oversaturate the market, and so its value won't go down. So that's how those brands keep up their value and their name in the industry. And you're saying a tailor-made suit that will be a lot less expensive would be even better than that brand?
Yeah, any.
It would be more fitting to you because you got it tailor-made, but that doesn't mean it will be better because the... material though, like if you're saying that you're gonna buy the same quality material as a Gucci suit, sure, it's probably gonna be as good, okay. But the tailor also has to be qualified, okay. It has to be a good enough tailor, because we know that people's handiwork, it varies, okay. It varies from person to person, and it's wholly up to you. But for people, they just see the brand, okay? They're not gonna see, and like, that's the thing about people. That goes back to the point I was talking about convenience. People are not gonna take the time to look into something, look into your suit, and ask you like, "Oh, you bought this quality material? You got it from this tailor? You tailor made it? Oh, that's how he made it, and it took this much time and all this shit." They're not gonna appreciate all the intricacies of that. They're just gonna see a brand. They're gonna see Gucci, and they're just gonna associate with high brand value and high prestige and class and all that. They're just gonna see Apple, and they're just gonna be like, "Oh, it's Apple. You know, that's an iPhone. Okay, that's good. I know what that is. Okay, that's how it is."
Better. Yeah, the tailor-made is better. That's just my opinion, but yeah. Also, I don't get the fascination about shoes, like Jordans, or I just, like, they're sneakerheads, right? I so don't get them. Like, I know it's an investment for most of them, like, they like it, they buy it, and then 6 months later, they sell it. But I wouldn't want to invest on that. I don't know, it just feels so, like, people would buy a $40,000 shoe as an investment, like, what? Why?
Yeah, the investment is just cap. Like, they're like, people don't buy shoes just to invest, okay? They're actually like sneakerheads that are like obsessed with owning all these different types of like shoes and stuff. They just want to have them and wear them, or just have them in their collection, okay? It's a pretty expensive hobby.
Something I don't get. Like, I wish I would understand their worldview. Like, why? I mean, I think it's similar to those people who, you know, collect cards, right? If it's Yu-Gi-Oh cards or Pokemon cards or Magic cards. I think it's somewhat similar to that. They love collecting. So they love shoes, so they collect it for the sake of it because it's a limited edition thing. So they feel better if they own it. It's not about wearing them, and even if they wear it, let's say for Instagram or whatnot, they feel better. I think that's the... But still, to drop that much money...
It's just something that you like. There's no need for any explanation. Like, people collect toys, people collect stuffed animals. And it's just something that makes you happy. There's no particular value that you can put on that because, you know, you just like it. It makes you happy. And that's the whole purpose of you earning money is to make you, you know, get something that you want to get. And it's how all these people collect it. It's all that passion and all that love for the thing that they're collecting that makes it valuable. And how rare it is. Like, you can take something, you know, you can buy something 10 years ago. Okay, and then it's low market value. And then the way how you view it will be the way how you market it out. If you market it out to be a priceless thing, it will be a priceless thing. So it's all about marketing.
Yeah, but people have to believe in it, right, as well. Like, I can say it's priceless, but it should be priceless.
That's why, like I said, how you view it is how you market it. Yeah, because if you don't put heart into it, if you believe this shit is like, it's the same as art. Like, that's how people view, like, art. Or this piece of shit costs like $1 million, like a stroke of penis. It's like $1 million. But on the other hand, a very penis.
Hold on, let me.
Yeah. Let's get into that, Donkey. What do you think about that? When, like, shit gets sold for, like, millions and millions of dollars and rich billionaires just bid money, ridiculous money, for, like, some weird abstract piece of painting? Like, what do you think about that?
Marketing is
ridiculous.
It's marketing. It's like I said, okay, you have to understand that different society of people, they need their own place to put their money in. And just think of it like
taxes.
I feel like it's money laundering. That's what it is. Money laundering.
It doesn't have to be something that makes sense. It's just a market for rich people. As easy as that. And it really all boils down to marketing. You know, like two same pieces of materials or product can be sold at two very different prices. A product that you find in Bangladesh can be sold for like 500 times the profit margin in Singapore because we can't get it here. So it really depends on how you market things and how you have the keen eye for supply and demand. So it's really not so much about the product itself. It's really how you view the thing and how you believe in it in terms of collection. Like, I like a lot of my toys, and majority of it is, to be honest, it's not going to be worth a lot. But if I were to market it that, wow, this piece is only 10 made, and then, you know, out of 10, I've got one. And, you know, people can't find any more details on it, and people will start believing in it, and people will look into it. It doesn't matter if they don't buy it, but it will create a traffic for people to get interested in it. So it's really all about marketing. It's not just so direct, like,
art pieces that get bid, okay, in bidding, they get bid and they get sold and auctioned off. How do artists go about doing that? Or like getting their paintings to a place of recognition?
It's all about social standing. It's all about social standing.
I think the way it works,
it's about the social standing, right? You just have to know enough rich people, have some rich friends, and then, like, get them to, like,
come to your art. Yeah, basically.
It's like my art pieces will probably go higher and more appreciated in the occult scene compared to if I were to market my artwork out in Singapore here on the mainstream scene. Yeah.
Well, that's because of your art. That's because of your art. Because your art is like,
It's where you stand in that thing. It's where you stand. So if you're not, like I said, it's like status. Like, okay, if you stand, if your position has a certain value in terms of you know your shit and everything, and people know your name, it's all back to marketing. Yeah, so it's like if you have a name of yourself, like example Larry, now you're really famous for some shit. Like, wait, like look at Johnny Depp. He can do art, but by all means he's not like the best artist, but his art sells like a lot more, like compared to another artist. Because why? Because of his name. It's all back to branding and marketing. It's back. It's the same point as Larry's point between the factory-made products versus the tailor-made products situation. It's all back to the same thing. It's all one concept that is recycled among the different status quos. Yep.
Okay. Have you tried to do that?
Do what?
Market yourself.
Yeah, like sell, auction your art.
Not. I did it once. Back then, I auctioned my art for an animal fundraising group, an original art piece that I sent it off to America. And apparently, it was auctioned off for like 350 only. And yeah, I mean for that kind of artwork, yeah, 350 was pretty high for an auction. So yeah, I mean, yeah, if I could, then. Of course I would, but the thing is, I really cannot be bothered with like status quo shit. If you talk about my personal job, yeah, of course I need a certain status quo to be respectable, or you know, to bring on certain stuff to the table when I talk. But in terms of artist wise, I need to make it very clear that to myself that why I'm doing this. I like to create. I'm not looking for like validation from the mainstream crowd. I don't need to sell this shit for it to validate to me that my art exists. You know, that kind of situation. So I want to keep it that way, that, you know, I want to continue to enjoy doing art. So if you talk about earning money, and that's where I come in with my freelance tattooing in future. And that's how I earn through my skills that I built up all these years. But on the other hand, my occult art, I still want it to be as it is. Like, whoever finds me. Whoever don't. I wouldn't beg, or, you know, I wouldn't go anywhere down to, you know, just so that I can have a crowd or validation from the crowd by likes and everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It really depends on what you want. Like, you know, if you can sell your product, then good. You're a salesman. You're a good salesman. You have a good marketing strategy and everything. Your art doesn't even have to be good. Your art can be subpar, and you can sell. You can sell it a lot better than me. Then that's where you earn. So it really depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for money and fame, or are you looking for creation? Majority of the time, people who create, they are not bothered by money, like scientists. That all they care about is finding a formula that works. I mean, of course, naturally, a good pay comes with that. But people who are like, that's why like mad scientists, like they don't give a shit about their well-being. They don't give a shit about how much they're paid. They want that formula to work. Everyday life, they're looking at that formula. They're looking at whatever they're creating, and not to be tainted by any other things. Their life is the formula itself. That kind of situation. So yeah, it really depends on where you want to be in a society, and how you want to be part of it or not. And yeah, so if you want to protect, how much you want to protect your creativity and all, blah, 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 blah. So it really depends on what you want. It's not that I can't do it, but it really depends on what you want. Like, I really want it to stay this way. I don't want stress to ruin all that creative process. You know, when you put so much stress, a deadline and everything, you're just churning out things for the sake of validation or for the fame to churn out something, an empty product. And I don't think that's what art is, and that's what I'm not going to stand for, and that's what I'm not going to do. same for music. So yeah, for other things like work, like my job, like yeah, I mean it is what it is. So yeah, I can do I can execute that formula, you know, because it's work, and I can leave it apart, and it's different from my interest, and it doesn't clash, and that's why I can move on like fairly well with that, because that is all about using your head and formulating solutions to troubleshoots and everything, etc. And that's where it is, and no creation is involved with that and everything. My creativity is still intact and everything. Blah 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 blah. Yep.
So your art and your job is like very different. It takes very different places in your mind. Like your art is just something you do for yourself and for to express your creativity, and it doesn't you don't want money or anything involved with that at all. Okay. On the other hand, your job.
It's not the one, but I don't need. Because you have to understand that.
What the fuck?
Okay, so what? My art has a purpose. Like, everything that I draw has a purpose. Otherwise, it's just sketch. But, yeah, so since there's a purpose, I don't need the financial money involvement in it. If there is a path, I would go for it, but it's not a priority in my art. The priority of my art is to have a purpose, and it has that. So, yeah. It is like a statement to say something. And, yeah. So, if I find, like, opportunities that art shows, conventions, or what, that I see that, oh, this is where my audience is, and definitely I would, you know, I would give it a thought to go for it. Like bands, like I do artwork for bands, and this band's music resonates with whatever I feel through my art. So we can commence business based on that. And it's not the other way around. It's not that, oh, I see your band, I'll do an artwork for you no matter what it takes. I don't even have to listen to your music. So that's the two difference. I have to listen to the music first. They have to like my artwork first. And then we can comment, because that's the respect that we have for each other's craft. Yep. So that's what I mean by a purpose. It really depends on what you're looking for. So if I'm going for money, then yeah, I'll look into tattooing, because it's where I can balance both money and art. Yep.
I see. Well, I still think it's crazy how like these some of the paintings get sold for like millions and millions of dollars, and the rich people are like, yeah, I just want that painting. Money is not an issue for me. I'm willing to pay whatever it is.
No, and no, like they buy it for the story. They would be like, in this photo or in this painting, I see myself drowning or some BS. That they
it's
will...
about it's about the flex though, like with rich people, like extremely like wealthy people, it's about the flex. It's about like, oh, this art piece I bought last year at Paris. I paid this French artist €1 million for this.
They don't say the million euros. They say the artist name. In French, they would, you know, like Charles Leclerc. I don't know.
This is a
little like that. I don't know why. I just
Jean-Paul. Yes. Jean-Paul.
It's of Marseille. It was.
Jean-Pierre, make this a painting.
You're not saying Italian, not French, bro.
It's all the same.
You could have said croissant.
This is Schnitter Grubender from the Germany. This is perfectly symmetrical Schnitter Gruben. A bottle from Germany, yeah. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah, but it's like, it seems weird to us, but I guess for them, money is not an object. So it's like, it doesn't matter where they spend it, because
okay.
They can spend it wherever the fuck they want.
when it comes to that kind of status standing, it's a very, very, I'd have to say it's a very different point of view from whatever we're looking at. Right now, we're looking at the money of it, but when you're at that level, you're not looking at the money anymore. Like, really, it's not about the money at all. It's honestly, like, it's crazy to us because the money is a factor. And we value money over everything else. That's why we view it in a sense of money, like the price. But when you're at that point, you're so secure that, you know, you have nothing to do. And yeah, you're looking for investment.
I think I understand a bit more about limited edition. Let's say I have money. But if you tell me there's this one-of-a-kind thing, like, if money doesn't matter, but if I don't get that, if somebody else buys that, then I can't ever have it. Then I want it because I have money. I don't want others to have it. I would rather have it myself. And I think paintings are like that. Like, everybody, if there is one famous painter who already died and he made 200 paintings, now it doesn't matter how crappy that painting is. I just want to have a piece of that art so that I have some sort of ownership of that story.
Yep.
So that million is justified because not only I have that story, but I have a collective piece which shall not go down on price because it's limited now. So it makes sense.
So this is what Larry is saying is buy my art before I die.
Yeah.
Thanks for the marketing, Larry. We can.
No, you shouldn't sell Donkey. I'll just sell your art after you die. That way I can get a lot more out of it.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, yeah, okay, like what Larry is saying, so it's like, imagine like people talk about investing 10,000 into an investment plan. It sounds crazy to us. You know, if we're struggling our day to day. But to be honest, $10,000 in an investment is considered the smallest scale of things. So that is where the difference is. Yeah. And yeah, it really, once you reach that point, you really don't feel that $1 million is a lot. And that's where people, it's tied back to the topic about AI. It's back to about social standing, about the artists and everything, and how AI will remove all this shit, and people will, you know, yeah, it's back to this same point. You know, everything ties together. So yeah, the whole
social. I remembered another topic I specifically had for Donkey. I was on YouTube. I was scrolling. And I just stumbled across this fucking video of a horse with huge hooves. Like, the hooves, you know, the horse hooves, you know, like this. But this one, it had, like, even more, like, it, like, grew. I didn't know horse hooves can grow like that. Like, what it grew fuck? Out. Yeah, did you know this?
Bro, no. Of course, bro. How can I not know this?
Larry, did you know this?
No,
exactly. I didn't know this either. Like, I didn't know horse hooves can grow like nails and shit. Like, if you don't cut them,
but I know they cut them in stables. What? They cut them on a regular basis. I just didn't know why they cut them. I just found it weird.
Horse hooves are their fingernails. Generally, a horse's leg is the equivalent to us standing on one finger like that. Their whole anatomy, their legs, their whole hoof is the equivalent to one finger of the human. So if you put the comparison of a human and a horse, if we stand all on our fours, like with two fingers in the front and our toes at the back, that's how horses' anatomies are. So their hooves are their fingernails.
Bruh, am I dumb or that did not make sense at all?
You are dumb.
Wait, I'll send the video, but I didn't know that hoops can grow out like that. I didn't know any. So is it the same for all hoofed animals, like cows and goats?
Yeah,
no.
Hooves are fingernails for animals.
Wait, so hooves, do we have to cut the cow's hooves as well?
Yeah. Yes, that's what farriers are for.
Okay, then what happens to the wild animals? Does
any
they grind it on rocks and shit.
They do it themselves? Like,
they do.
What are you talking about?
Bro, go watch more. What the fuck, bro? go watch them. Go some
I
animals.
I feel like you're pulling my leg. I'm gonna Google it and I'm gonna look dumb.
No, just wait, go. You are sending dumb. What the fuck, bro?
Wait, I'm sending this video, but you can see it just in the thumbnail. How big the hooves are of the horse. And I'm like, what the fuck? They can grow that large? And this guy just came in and he measured. Yeah, he measured like where the actual bone would be and he cut it to that amount and then he was grinding and polishing the rest of it down to make it like look like a normal hoof.
Damn. It kind of looks good though. I like it this way.
No, what the fuck? Like,
it has a waviness to it. It's...
No, it must be so hard to like walk on, like if your hooves are like that, though.
Yeah, it is.
But that's what I was thinking. Like, how do animals in the wild, how do horses in the wild, how do they take care of their hooves? Like, they don't have people to do it. So, doesn't their hooves grow long like that?
They have their ways, like I said, one of them is probably like they use rocks and stuff. If I remember correctly, like one of, I don't know which animal, they do something with rocks to sharpen their nails. I can't remember which one was it. I remember I saw it. So if based on that, I would think that like horses, okay, different environment affects the growth as well. So it really depends. I'm not too sure like now what is the specific way that wild horses do it, but I would think that, you know, grinding against rocks and stuff like goats, they do that as well. Like I think they grind their horns on like rocks or something to make it like sharp or something. I can't remember. But yeah, like so generally just imagine like hooves are fingernails. It's literally the same material has our fingernails, so they are fingernails for hooved creatures. So however,
so it keeps growing.
What?
It keeps growing all the time then.
Yeah, it does. So how we can chip off our nail is how they can do it as well, but I just don't know. I didn't really go and research that deep like how wild animals do it, but I know that for farm animals and stuff, the farriers do trim like cows and horses. Yeah, that's what farriers are for. Like goats as well.
Okay, TK, you're going to research this and you're gonna put a comment to let everybody know. Okay? And this thing. If I don't know, I'm freaking curious. I don't know if somebody
says what?
Like, how do the wild animals do it? That sounded so bad. Not do it. I mean, you know what I mean, okay? Like, how do they cut the nails?
Wild horses maintain their own hooves by moving many kilometers a day across a variety of surfaces. There you go, Larry. Whatever I said is half true. This keeps their hooves in good condition as the movement across abrasive surfaces wears the hooves on a continual basis. I was right, you put it else. Look, they even have a picture of the horses on rocks, like rocky surfaces.
When you're that old, maybe you know one or two things about the world.
No, bro, I work with horses. It's not about age.
So, okay, yeah, so that's why I watched that video yesterday and I'm like, Bro, what the fuck? I didn't know this was a thing. Like, I just never, I didn't know hooves are like nails. Like, I didn't know they are made of the same material. I thought they just, they're like feet, and like cows, horses, and goats, they have those kind of feet. I didn't know hooves are like nails, okay? I just didn't know that. And yesterday I saw that and I was like, what the fuck? And then and that was eye-opening for me, okay? Now I just Google and I find out that cows also have hooves like that. Apparently, cows' hooves need to be trimmed twice a year as well. I never knew that, okay, about cows either. But given that I'm from Bangladesh, I should have known that, but I don't know how I did it.
Like, why is this piece of information coming so late considering where you're coming from?
I didn't, because I never took care of cows or anything, or never, I never raised animals on a farm.
I did took care of cows every year.
Like, bro, that was for a few days before but you I fucking
said. No.
He's talking about Eid al-Adha, where you have to, like, where you buy the cow and you, like, sacrifice a cow and eat it. You took care of a cow for 2-3 days every year.
Yeah, ever since I was one. Okay, ever since I was 5, I was taking care of the cow.
How is this information not?
For like 10-15 years, I took care of a cow.
Bro, the hoof doesn't grow. The hoof doesn't grow in 5 days, okay?
Yeah, I fed it. I cleaned after it. I showered it even, like, outside.
But yeah, it's something that struck to me, like, how do I not know about this? Like, how does no one speak of this? How is this not common knowledge?
Yeah. It's so weird.
And then, from the same channel, I saw another video of, like, this guy, like, putting the horseshoes on his hooves. You know,
yeah,
like,
I've seen that a lot.
Steel horseshoes. Is it steel or metal?
It's metal. It could be steel. It's the same thing.
Iron. Okay. Yeah. So, and they nail it in. They nail the shoes in, like, yeah, with a hammer. Does that not hurt? Like,
no.
How do you know? Are you a horse?
I did that before.
They might hurt. They're just strong animals. They just don't
care. I mean,
if they hurt, they would have kicked our asses off.
Yeah. Obviously, it doesn't hurt because they don't move. When I saw the video and they're like banging the nails into, and it doesn't hurt because they're just standing there and they're not even moving.
Just, okay, flick your nail. See, it kind of you can feel the sensation,
bro. Take a nail and pierce your fingernail that's protruding out like that. You see this part of my nail? Take a nail and pierce it through and tell me if that hurts.
I can't pierce. It will pop the entire thing off if I do that.
You parapunda. Do you know how to poke a hole in your nail? You parapunda.
What do you think? I'm using sharp tools to poke a hole on my.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. That's no
fear. I ain't doing that. I'll take your word for it. Sure, it doesn't hurt. I ain't doing an experimental subject to your shitty experiment. I ain't doing that. No.
It's knowledge, you dumbass.
I'd rather be called a dumbass than have my fingernail pop off.
No, not pop off.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, okay? You do it and tell me. How about that?
Okay. Donkey, so how does it work? Like, you've done the horseshoe thing. Like, you've put them on, you've replaced them.
So, imagine this is their hooves like that, right?
Uh-huh.
So, this is the base of the hoof where the horseshoe is, like that.
Yeah.
So, this is the front of the hoof.
Uh-huh.
So, the metal only goes underneath. And how the nail goes is like that,
around the sides.
It goes at a certain angle.
Okay.
So wait,
is there any sensation in those hooves at all? Like,
it's like when you cut your nails, do you feel pain? No. It's the same.
Wait, so is the entire hoof just made out of that material? They don't have any sensitive tissue or bone in there at all?
It's like when we cut too deep, it's the same. Mm. It's exactly the same logic as our fingernails. Just imagine their hoof to be a huge-ass fingernail. So, you can't go too deep. You can't, you know, there's a certain area that's called the frog, which is like the... I think it's here. Yeah, the V shape here is called the frog.
Yeah, the V shape in the middle.
You have to carve out, and that's where the sensation is. That's why they can't have that kind. If their feet is too flat, they will affect their walking because that part is where they feel the sensation. But yeah, there is a certain level to where they can feel the sensation. It's the same as our fingernails. There's only that much you can cut off and you can shave off. So usually, what people do is they level their hooves to a certain angle so that they can stand like that. So if you're leveling it too much, it'll be like that. And they'll be standing like that. It'll be like tiptoeing.
Yeah.
So you have to level it straight where the horses can place their feet on an angle that they can stand and feel comfortable standing.
Okay. Yep.
So it's not.
And why do they put horseshoes on in the first place? Is it
to protect the hoof? Because you walk on surfaces like floors and everything, it's not good for their feet.
Also, does it help like race horses like run better?
No, it doesn't. Horseshoes are shoes to horses, hence horseshoe.
Imagine Nike, Adidas is sponsoring a long.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you're saying?
Yeah, I was saying, imagine Nike, Adidas, Puma sponsoring horses for a race.
It's too, you know, the industry is too big for companies like that to enter. It's too big. The horse racing industry is not... It's not a company. It's not a company that you want it to surface. It's a whole huge-ass industry that you... It's a can of worms that you don't want to open.
The fuck? Yeah. Okay.
Yep. There's a lot going on there.
Okay, but yeah, I didn't know there's, like, so much goes into, like, taking care of horses and their hooves as well. Like, I just thought that... Wait, so when baby horses are born, are they like it's born
soft.
With
it's soft?
It's soft, right? It's, the hooves like, aren't. It's
like, yeah, it's like five tentacles like that. Like, you know, the little squid legs, it looks like that. And for 24 hours, when the oxygen, when they come in contact with the oxygen, it hardens. And that's when the hooves are formed.
Oh. That's so cool.
Yep. Otherwise, their hard hooves will tear open that balloon in their mom's stomach, so they can't have that.
Imagine one baby horse boy saying to the other baby horse girl, "After I saw you, my hooves got hard." The silence was fucking loud. You guys are fucking dead. It was a good joke.
There was only one way to respond to that, which was no response at all.
Yep, as much as... Yeah, no. My view of horses has no place for sexuality in it, so I can't view it in that way. I'm just like, bro.
Really? Have you ever seen centaur porn?
Wait, is that what?
It is in like doujins and hentai.
No.
What the
Why do you want to know where, donkey? Why do you want to know
where?
Donkey, what?
I'm asking, where is this conversation going? Like, why are we hated this way?
But No, wait. Have you seen that anime Monster Musume? The Monster Girl anime?
No.
Have you guys seen that?
No.
I can't remember. Okay. It sounds familiar.
You can look up Monster Musume, but it's a fucking ecchi anime about a guy who lives with a bunch of monster girls. And these girls are like half animal, half
Like,
and one is like a snake girl, you know, her from her bottom half, she's a snake. The top half is the same goes with the horse girl. Okay, there's the fucking horse girl where her bottom half is like a horse, but her top half is like a human. And it's like the female centaur type. And there's a spider girl. There's bird girl.
Why
they really sexualize those creatures, let me tell you what. Those animal girls.
Did you want it to hit the horse? Is that what you're saying? Like you had the urge to, and that's how you found the hentai?
My favorite was the spider, okay? She's a male. And I support her. Like, she has 8 legs.
Okay. Are you
can you imagine what he will do to his girlfriend? Like, hey, baby, can you please crawl down and act like a spider so I can go from behind and do it spider style? And you see both of them, like, on each other, like TK and on her, and then they have 8 legs now. And then they'll start crawling, like, start wriggling his balls into it, like,
no, V knows this, okay? V knows this. I have a fucking weakness for Arachnia, the spider girl. Okay.
I don't want to stay in the same room with you guys, please. I don't want to hear like weird, like click 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 noises coming from the room beside, like while I'm just sitting there having my coffee. And both of you start wriggling out of the room like that. Like click 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 click. What the fuck, bro?
Oh shit. Oh my god. Okay, just look it up. Arachnia from Monster Musume.
Just pull it up from your phone.
This girl is a MILF, okay? And she has the MILF energy as well. And she's got 8 legs and webs. She can fucking knit, okay? Like, she can tie me up, literally. Yes, that
just
girl.
Just lower it a bit. Okay, cool.
Look at this. She can tie me up all she wants. That's what I'm saying.
Yep, weird freaky sex TK will be doing when we go meet on a vacation next.
Look at this! Look at this one!
Can we show that on YouTube though?
Well, I just did. And it's fine, okay? Their titties aren't showing. Okay, not the, you know. But anyway, also the snake girl isn't bad either, okay? Because she can constrict you, okay? You know, she can give you this.
Now he wants his girlfriend to slither around. So you can't imagine his girlfriend going like, hello, Tash! Hello, Tash! Hello! And it's start wrapping him around. And then like...
I just want her to squeeze me tight like a snake.
Oh, hello, baby boy.
My breathing, if you know what I mean. But
I don't want to bring you to the hospital in Philippines, TK. Please don't do it.
Donkey, how would you feel knowing this parapunda next door is getting clapped and shit and you're just alone?
So? What makes you think I can't get a chick?
You know, that's why you should come to Philippines as well, Larry.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
You have someone, like, Donkey will have someone to accompany him to the clubs. And,
No, fuck you, TK, fuck you and your happiness. Me and Larry will be chilling and having tea together.
I'm
not into clubbing, so... I'm not...
So you two would rather just sit at a fucking, you know, open air cafe and order some tea and just bitch like
no, I could be the wingman for him. And you know,
why like, do I need a wingman? I'm not Larry.
Dude, you're Larry, you're the one who needs a wing.
Why are you killing your only ally? He's gonna leave you out there alone and go on dates. I was just trying to help.
Well, I'm still willing to be a wingman to anyone, you know.
No, fuck you. No, Larry, whatever happens, do not get TK as a wingman. You will die. You will end up with a guy. You will end up with a guy. Trust me, Larry. What? Please.
Wait, what are you talking about? Where is this coming
from? He's talking about experience, I'm pretty sure, from Langkawi.
From all my time from Langkawi to playing COD of TK, please, Larry, trust me when I say this. Don't get TK as your wingman. You will end up with two guys in your anus. Please don't do it.
Wait, what do you mean? You're going to end up with two guys in your ass in Langkawi, did you?
This is because I winged myself.
You winged yourself. That's why you ended up alone. In the room with me.
Because, yeah.
Bruh, what did you say? He ended up
alone. Dude, this guy, we went to one bar, okay? This guy got one drink and he was like, TK, I think I'm drunk. I'm done. Yeah. I think I'm done for the night, okay? I'm drunk. I ain't going to no more bars or clubs. Yep. I think I've had enough. Yeah.
Yep. Well, yeah, because I don't drink. So it's man had wrong.
Man had one Sprite vodka, and he was done.
Yep. I haven't drank for like 10 years, man. That was my first drink in 10 years. So, yeah.
Fucking hell. And then we came back home after that, and I was like, oh, there's like a better club nearby. Let's just go to that one and see what's up there. And I was like, oh, I can't move. I'm sleepy. I'm drunk. Yeah. I'm going to go to sleep, TK.
I didn't say I'm drunk. I had a headache. You know, the point where you're not drunk yet, but you have this tremendous headache going on? Yeah, it was that stage.
What?
Can't really relate.
Okay, please come to Philippines.
You don't get a headache before you get drunk. What do you mean?
You do.
I thought you get the headache once you wake up from sleep, like hungover or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So now you guys know why I don't drink.
Yeah, but you just drank. You didn't sleep to get the hangover, did you?
Yeah, exactly. That's why. It's fucked for me. That's why I don't like to drink, because it's fucked. Yeah, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about weed? Do you like weed?
Oh. Nope, I don't.
But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of the Talk Cock Podcast. We've been here, the Banchods. And I hope you had a good the Banchos. It's like the boys.
That'll be the new name for the Talk Cock Podcast.
No, don't. The Banchos. I'm a good boy. I ain't a Banchos. The Banchos.
Look at you.
That should be the name, okay? The Banchos and Larry. That I can stand by.
No, how about Tika and Donkey with the Banchos?
Yeah, I like that better.
Thank you.
But anyway, thank you guys for joining us this week, and hope to see you again next time. And as always...